Can you say that in a Long Island accent again?
Water. It slips out sometimes. Hello, and welcome to On the Verge with me, Kara Bradley. My friends, we are in unprecedented times. These days of shelter in place and social distancing have changed everything for all of us. In fact, it's a whole new game. The world as we knew it will never be the same. And although we face big mountains in front of us, and there is much to do, I see that there are incredible possibilities. At this time, we have an extraordinary opportunity to change our lives, our communities, our world. I'm feeling the call to pivot. I cannot see going back to normal. In fact, I don't think we can even do it if we tried. Normal has changed for all of us, all at once. Small businesses in every town, in every state, including Verge Yoga, the business I started 15 years ago, are facing the very real possibility that the dreams they made into reality could be coming to an end. And all the people who are now out of a job are looking at the very real possibility that they may have no choice but to take control of their own steering wheel, to find a way to make their own money, to maybe even start their own venture. My life as an entrepreneur has been to do just that, to put ideas into action, to start my own gig. It feels like the right time to pivot and turn my energies fully towards the things I value most and the ways I can best serve in the days and years to come. I can only share what I have to give. This series was born from conversations with my daughter, who I've spent more time with during this quarantine than I have in years, and who has recently pivoted into her own entrepreneurial journey. And so what I have to share in this special series are my stories, the stories I shared with her of digging deep to find my purpose, of turning my ideas into action, of finding the grit and motivation, even when I wanted to quit, and attracting others with shared vision to build business together. And so sit back and enjoy my stories with my daughter about being an entrepreneur. Here we go.
So tell me about your first business.
My first business. Okay, well, I was a junior in high school. I was in the choir for like the kids who really couldn't sing. I'm not going to call it the loser chorus, but it was kind of the loser chorus. But we were going to London, so I was thinking about how to pay for some of it. And I was a photographer. I spent hours in the darkroom, and I loved developing pictures. So I asked my chorus teacher if I could see if anybody needed passport photos. Because back then, I mean, it's not like we went out of the country all the time. Most people had not been out of the country in their junior year of high school. So they didn't have passports. So they were going to need to get a passport to go to England. So I ended up setting up a shop and I took people's pictures and then I developed them and I cut them into the right size. And I think I charged like $6 each. And I more than paid for my trip. That was kind of cool. It was cool to do something and to get paid for it and for it to really be like a good product, you know? It was like really good service for people. And that was my first business. It never happened again. I never did any passport photos again, but.
Obviously it's different now. You couldn't just like have people Venmo you.
Yeah, just cash, baby. You didn't need much, you know? Cash in the hand, done.
So for your 16-year-old self, that first business, taking those passport photos, like knowing what you know today, what would you say to her?
Awesome job. Like way to see an opportunity and go for it. Really. I mean, that was like a no risk. Just go for it. Have fun. Make some money. Get to London.
Is that entrepreneurship?
Yeah. I mean, but it is. It's having fun with it. You got to have fun with it. I think the businesses that probably don't work are the ones that don't have heart. Even though the product may not be the sexiest product, you know, passport photos really aren't that sexy, but I had fun doing it.
and I was able to showcase my skills, you know, and my my enthusiasm. So then what I used to do a lot was read biographies of women. And I remember reading Estee Lauder's, Long Island, Estee Lauder's.
Can you say that in a Long Island accent again?
Lauder. It slips out sometimes. Oh, Estee Lauder's, her biography. And I thought, wow, that's cool. I want to run a business like that. Then when I was 19, I started my second company. And that was called Duet Skincare and Cosmetics. And I bought a line of private label skincare and cosmetics. Don't ask me how. Like, I don't even remember. There was no internet. I don't know how I did it. And I had a label made up, like stickers with my label on it. Again, how did I do this? I don't remember. And I had home parties and I sold all the skincare and cosmetics. And that was my second company. And that, again, it like taught me how to like have an idea, act on the idea, actually test it out there. It was kind of cool. I was totally learning on the job.
And at this point, had grandma and grandpa started their business?
Yes. Yeah. So my dad started his company right when I was in college. But he had always done some things on the side. I'd always seen him start like little projects. Like my dad didn't just have a job. He always did many things. Yeah. So, you know, we've always been that kind of family where we were always trying things out. So we had this huge just workshop in our basement with all these like major tools. You know, if you needed something, you figured out, could we build this ourselves first? So I think that was the mentality of the house we grew up in. It was, you know, we're Italian American immigrants. And so there was a lot of DIY. I remember my dad always working. And that's really important to know. He was always working, but he wasn't working because he had a smile on his face. My dad thoroughly enjoyed pouring through catalogs of hydraulic pumps and figuring stuff out. I had never saw him complain about work. I never heard him complain about work. So for me, growing up, like work and life was very intertwined. I didn't really see a lot of difference. I saw work and life and creativity and joy and interest, people's interest and curiosity in my family. I always knew that I wasn't just going to fall in line with a job. It just wasn't me.
But you did at first.
At first I did, yeah. But even then it wasn't a very typical job. It was a small department of an English merchant bank, which is an investment bank. And there were only two executives and me when I started. So it was all hands-on. I had to really be a self-starter. I had to learn a lot on my own. And it was interesting because I remember seeing the job posted on a bulletin board. Like that's how it was back then. I pulled it off and I called on a payphone. I remember calling on a payphone. How is that possible? I don't even know. Like, I don't even remember how I got the interview. But what I do know is that they had hundreds of applicants. And I walked into this office in Madison Avenue in a red Tahari suit. And the guy that was interviewing me was just a couple of years older. And he was very snarky is the word. And he said, why would we hire you? And so I told him a story and asked him to remember my red suit. And the story is, it was my last final at NYU, and I parked on the side of the street, right in the village, went in to take my final, and I came out, and my car was gone. And I knew about something called the pound in New York City. It's where they tow cars, but I had no cash, and I had one token. And I knew that the pound was all the way on 11th Avenue in an impossible place to get to. I decided that I was going to take the subway up to Midtown and then figure it out. So I got up to Midtown thinking, all right, I got to walk over to 11th Avenue. It's not cool to be doing this at night. My parents would not be happy. So I passed a firehouse. And I remembered, like, as a kid, you know, firemen are friendly and they help people. So I went in, and of course, you know, I'm 21-year-old young lady. And I walked in and told the firemen my story. And they looked at each other. And one of them said to me, okay, come on. And I didn't know what they were talking about. And I see these guys starting to put on all their gear. And they opened up the fire truck and they put the sirens on and said, get in. And I was like, what? I was on a fire truck going through New York City with like seven firemen and me. And they said to me, don't tell anyone we are doing this. And they dropped me off at the pound and I got my car back. And so when I told the guy this at the company and the fact that I had a red suit on, I got the job. I got the job because of the grit, the capacity to think quickly on my feet, to take a risk, to go for it, to not be afraid. You know, I got to believe that's why I got it.
And a little bit of luck.
And a little bit of luck, and maybe being 21 and having nice hair. That story will go down in the books for me. I really like the process of putting an idea into action. I think the important thing is that we just try stuff. We just try. Just give it a shot. And even if it never makes it past the paper, that's okay. You haven't failed. You know, I think if people really realize how much people that are quote unquote successful have failed, how much more they failed than succeeded, we would maybe be more inclined to try stuff. Just try it, you know, be creative. I think our creative expression is stunted in this society that's so fixated on being perfect. Thanks for tuning in. I hope my stories got you thinking about the ideas you want to act on and the dreams you're ready to launch. Remember, my friend, the world is changing fast. It can be it's scary, no doubt, so scary at times, but it's also so ripe with incredible opportunity. Your time to pivot is right now. Go out there and make some noise. Create a stir. Have some fun while doing it. And if anything I shared resonated with you, reach out to me. Tell me your dreams. Don't be shy. I want to know who you are. I want to know your ideas. I want to know the possibilities that you're seeing in this new world. So message me on Facebook or Instagram or email me at hello@carabradley.net. Also, if you got value from this episode, please give it a review on iTunes or your podcast player. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and dream big.
Hey, this is Juliana, Kara's daughter, the one producing this podcast with her.
Just wanted to jump in and say thanks for listening and stay tuned for next week's episode. This one will be a fun one about one of her first biggest lessons as an entrepreneur.
The first real failure, I guess you can call it, was my business, Blade Skatewear.
What got you to start a skatewear company?
Insanity. Honestly, I mean, thinking about it now, like, I had no business being in that business.
Entrepreneur is a series of On the Verge podcasts with Kara Bradley. It is produced and edited by me, Juliana Bradley. Music from this episode was from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening.